Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Wolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. I have a great show for you tonight. We are fresh out of having been to the NAMM show, the National Association of Music Merchants show, the big music convention here in Anaheim every year. And I'm sitting, so you can't see. My feet are dead from walking so much. But I'm all excited tonight because one of my great guitar friends and just a great guy altogether, Don Alder, welcome to come back to the show. It's really great to have you back.
Hey, Jeff. I guess late Merry Christmas to you, but a Happy New Year to you. Great to see you again. You're looking great, and I'm glad to see the show is up and running well, and glad to be back.
It's awesome to have you back. He had called me, and it's like, I got a bunch of stuff for you to show, and he was able to bring some of the makers of some of this great stuff. So I'm going to introduce everybody really quick. Coming back, he was here, I think, was last year or 2 years?
Last year.
I can't, time is like
for sure.
Irrelevant. This is Alex Wang from Mason Guitars and Martinez Guitars, some great guitars that they're making out of China. And you're going to hear two models today that they brought in, a really, really beautiful work. It's great to have you back on the show. And I want to also introduce Rob Smith from Timberline Guitars. When Don was here last year, he had the bigger Timberline harp guitar. He makes these beautiful harp guitars, and we have a new one that we're going to look at. It's a parlor version, which is very, very cool. So I wanted to welcome you. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And when Don was here last time, he brought over an archtop guitar. At that time, I think it was a fan fret one.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It's an amazing guitar. Tad Brown from Brown Guitars. That's the jazz one. We have another really cool one here, and we're going to talk about that. Welcome. It's an honor to have
Thanks.
You guys, all
Great
of you guys
here.
On the show. So there's a lot to talk about, so I'm going to let Don just take it away. Give me your impressions of NAMM, and you have some little things that you want to show us, and then we'll get into the guitars.
Sure. Well, NAMM was bigger and better than ever, and along with that came noise that was louder than ever. But it was a great show, and what's so great for guitar players, you know, you walk around the show and you feel like a kid with no money in a candy store.
Right.
So there were so many new cool things for guitar players and acoustic guitar players, and my focus on acoustic. So I only brought a couple out of the tons that were there because I got some really cool guitars that I want to show you with my sponsors and partners. So right off the bat, remember the good old Tronicle system that I guess Gibson was putting on and their guitars and stuff, and was the automatic tuner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it never quite took off very well because it, you know, was attached to the guitar. But a new company called Rode has made this little unit. They call it the R unit, and it's an automatic tuner. So it fits in the palm of your hand. And the beauty is that when you turn it on, you can pick different tunings. You can store tunings. You can make your own tunings. You can actually sample tunings that you're on if you're like in a different tuning that's even off pitch. And then you can hook it up to, you know, the computer and have a little app that runs and everything. So got to love the evolution of these things, right? So you got that little guy. It's called the Rode, and I think they're about $150.
Let me see that for a minute. So basically what you do is you put this thing on your the tuning knob, and it goes to that. So let's say like he's tuning the E string. It'll show it. If it's flat, it'll actually tune it up for you, which is very hip, very cool. And this is there's a plug in here for USB, so it recharges. So it's not a battery thing.
And hooks up your software. So that's the cool part.
Oh, that's cool,
it's got an app, too, I think. So next up to that would be a little portable mixer. Now, as a guitar player, the modern guitar player, you have multiple outputs of the guitar. So you're always looking to try to blend, right? And this came from the Elite Acoustic Systems.
Mm-hmm.
And last year I had what's called like a stomp box version. Now, this is a fit-in-your-palm version. And what's so great about this, it's digital, 32-bit digital, but it's got four channels. So you can have two, if you have dual outputs and guitars, you can actually have two guitars plugged in. And you've got an A-B switch. You can go back and forth between the two. All sorts of great features. But the coolest part about it is that when you go into the menu, you get four independent channels. And you get four pages or multiple pages with that. So you can have delay on one channel, not on the other channel. You can have reverb on channel and not. It's even got a compressor and limiter in it. And aux send. So it just goes on and on and on. I won't bore you to death. But if anybody's looking for a really great little portable mixer, there you go. It's brand new, hot off the market. It's called the Stomp Mix 4.
So that is very cool.
Yeah,
very nice.
And so today I'm here with my top three guys, and I'm so happy they can all be here because they've been very strong supporters of me. And as an artist, when you're touring overseas, having support from great sponsorship is important, like you know. So I'm going to start off with Alex here. Alex is from China and has a company called Mason Guitars. And last year we talked about me becoming like an exclusive artist for them for China. So pleasantly surprised to announce as of this now, we have that agreement in place. And along with that comes a little Don Alder signature guitar, fan fret.
Oh, this is a beautiful guitar. He showed me this at the show.
Yeah, really thrilled. It's their first fan fret they've done. And so we always want to put our team to the challenge, and they came through big time. So this particular guitar has all beautiful wood. It's got a nice, beautiful spruce top, a European spruce top, I believe.
Yes.
And the back is Madagascar rosewood. Got a, the neck is mahogany, yeah. And so with that, we did a couple things. We did the 1-inch fan fret. And why that's really great for an acoustic player is that a lot of times the modern players, we're all hitting our top to get that thud sound, right? But the bridge is usually a little bit closer to the sound hole, so you're actually hitting the bridge. With this bridge going back a bit now for the 1-inch, it actually gives me more space to get a nice thud for that kick sound, right? Now, the other thing we did, this kind of accommodates my bad habits of long nails, is that we scalloped up the upper frets. And was it from 15 on or from 14 on? 12, 13, 4, 15 on. And so the idea for this for me is I'm too old to learn proper techniques. So we accommodated my bad techniques. And that is when I'm doing the artificial harmonics, is that when my thumb's plucking down, I'm not tapping into the fingerboard, getting that tappy-tappy sound.
Right.
So I think, this is, I'm not the only guy that this would really benefit. It's really a good little feature. So to give you a little, an idea of the sound. Very rich. So beautiful guitar, and we're going to have dual pickup systems in it, and you can see a beautiful rosette on here as well.
Does the scallop frets help you when you're tapping up on the top?
Well, I'm not usually doing a lot of tapping, but usually guys will tap for the lower frets. Why I've not been a bit advocate of the tapping sound, I think I told you this last time, is when you... A lot of guys are doing this, and you hear two notes, and one's a good note, one's a bad note. And you can get away from that a little bit by tapping right on the fret wire. But I've got very few songs that are using tapping. I might do more, but...
But don't you, like, hit the strings for, like, a harmonic or
something different,
like that?
Yeah. That's actually... You can do that to... it doesn't matter what you're doing with frets or scallops.
Okay.
You're actually slapping, right? And there's different types of harmonics. You got the slap one. You got those kind where you strike them. You can actually do your left hand only and pull off, so you can put a note there and then I do it that way. So these are all common, right? And then the Tommy Manuel one kind of thing. But, yeah, great little guitar. Very, very happy with, and really pleased to be with Mason Guitars for exclusive for China.
The craftsmanship of all of their guitars is just outstanding. The ones I saw over at the show and even last year were just beautiful works of art. And they're beautiful.
And also, I'm going to bow to talk to a second here, and he can tell you more about the guitar and the ideas that we had. But I guess Mason, before Mason, there was Martinez, and that's what Alex is really
It's Martinez about. Or Martinez?
Martinez, yeah, Martinez. And that, we're talking about 65,000 units a year you make?
Yes.
So big company, they have low-cost guitars all the way up to like $8,000 guitars. Killer sounding. So I'll pick it up maybe, and we can hear it for a couple seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And try not to destroy everything in a beautiful studio of yours.
He's got everything wired.
Yeah,
we're using the different pickups.
Okay, so I'm not a nylon player, but the thing to notice is just how big and rich the sounds of are this and.
One of the things that I was noticing playing it before the show is the sustain and the evenness of all the notes up and down the fretboard.
So Alex, take it away. Tell us a bit about Mason.
Okay, I'm happy to be back here.
It's always good to see him.
The guitar we made for Dom, the model based on our model called Duke. It's come from the custom shop, and the guitar was created for him. It's based on his requirement,
mm-hmm.
innate, and scallop fingerboard, and also the sounds he liked.
Right.
So actually, this guitar is with 5 frets. It's the first time we did it, and I'm so happy he's certified with the sound and the details. About the Lynon, our Lynon classic guitars, the model he showed us, it's called...
Hand me that for a minute.
Yes. It showed us, this is guitar, the model is called Albatross. Why does model...
Albatross.
Yeah, Albatross. Why we call this guitar Albatross is present, re-present Martinez commitment to excellent in guitar making. So you can see the bindings we made by hand.
Yeah, and marquetry is beautiful.
Yes, and the wood, we choose the beautiful wood. And, you know, the sounds, we, you know, based on the traditional, but we create creative. It's become louder and balanced, and also dynamic is good. And of course, the playability, this is just made in a workshop, as all the Lucia around the world, they're making it their own workshop. It's independent, very high quality in our Martinez, the independent workshops. So the machine head we is cut is, you know, we you know, especially it's made for us. It's Schiller by Schiller from Germany.
Schiller
from Germany, good, very good tuner. French polish, you know, it's very carefully made. So sounds really pretty good. It's really, really good for the real concert guitars.
What I notice a lot is just the sustain. Now I'm gonna kind of get closer.
Very full sound, rich sound.
And it's just, it's there. I mean, it's just...
Yes,
it's
actually,
a real rich sound. Excuse my voice, and it's really balanced. I'll let you take that back. It has a really balanced tone, and it sustains. There's no dead spots in the guitar, which is a sign of a great guitar. That's really well made, and the beautiful. It's hard to see it on camera here, but the marquetry around it, the binding and stuff, that's really a work of art.
Yes, and actually, you know, we are come from classical world. So we created a lot of sense based on the guitar, the sound, how to create the sound for the different people there, the demand. The people now, they want to get that sound loud and also easy play. Also, you know, the dynamic sustain, all the requirements, we try to make the balance for the Pima de Mayo.
But it has that, rosewood has that real rich, full sound, so which is more traditional classical. I'm noticing more new guitarists than what I call the neoclassic, the classical neo-flamenco. A lot of them are using flamenco guitars live because they cut so well. In even if they're doing classical repertoire, I'm noticing that. But the in recording, that rosewood, it just gives you that rich sound. It's really, it's pretty, it's definitely a must. But they're just well made. So check those out. Is it martinezguitars.com is the website?
Yes.
Martinez Guitars. So there's both Martinez and then there's the Mason. So there's two same guys, but different divisions. So
up next, I've been working with Rob for a couple of years now, and he's from Timberland Guitars. And he and Greg Miner just decided to put their heads together and bring an affordable harp guitar to the market, so it'd be available to the masses. And so I learned about this. I approached him, and he agreed to take me on as an artist. And so I've been touring the world with it, and it's a great tool. And I'll give you an example. This is his new parlor version, right?
Yeah, that's right. Don.
I'll play a little bit on there. You can tell us a bit about it.
Sure.
So,
okay, this is a new instrument, a new series of them, actually. We're making four in this body size and shape behind our original harp guitars, which you saw on the show last year, which is an auditorium-based body. This is obviously a parlor-based harp guitar. We've had to reduce the harp arm, the harp headstock slightly, and so to create something that we're hopeful will appeal to the singer-songwriter market, and we're looking also for more female artists, so obviously
right.
The size is a consideration. And we had very good response from females at the show, very good players coming into the booth. So I won't drop names, but there were a few big ones that came by and were very pleased with the instrument. So it's our larger harp guitar is a 24/9 scale neck. This one is a 23/9 scale, not a big difference, but enough, I think, to make it comfortable for them. Also, because it's a parlor, it's a 12 fret to the body as opposed to a 14 fret to the body of our larger harp guitars. This is called a T60 version. We also have a T60 in the larger body. This one's called a T60 HGPC, meaning harp guitar parlor cutaway. So all of our harp guitars have cutaways. This is acacia, which is a type of koa. Solid acacia, 100% solid wood guitar, no laminates, no plastics, no pictures of wood. And all of our instruments, save the entry-level model, the T20, have a bevel, an arm bevel. This one is made of tamarind, which is kind of a rare timber. Forward-shifted X bracing, and again, the 23/9 scale. Grover 302s on the top with hand-cut ebony polished and finished buttons, and I think it's going to be a real popular model for us.
I think so. It's really handy, and it's not that bulky, so it's
picture.
Really. Go ahead and flip it too. Go ahead and do that because you got to see this back. The wood is just amazing, and then flip it over again. I'll take another one of it while it's there. Now, real quick, Rob, give us a little more of your background. How long have you been making these guys? Because this is the first time I've had you on the show.
So yeah. My background is I really got into the guitar business pretty late in life. I have a whole career before this in the computer industry and a high-tech traveling salesman marketing guy. At about retirement time, my wife said, "Why don't you do something you love?" And this was it. I didn't mm-hmm. know how to get in. I applied everywhere. I couldn't really get a job. And I wound up working for Maton Guitars in Australia, which was a very lucky stroke for me because that's the Tommy Emmanuel brand and a great maker. So I really learned my trade as the North American distributor for Maton and started Timberline as a lower-end companion to that. And then we just began developing our own models, which kind of eclipsed the need to be.
Well, how did you learn about harp guitar? I mean, where did you...
The harp guitar came from a player of ours named Jamie Dupuy. who is a tremendous player, does a ton of videos on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie is a force to be reckoned with, a really accomplished player, full scholarship to Musicians Institute here in L.A. And he suggested that I build one, so we gave it a try. And after a little bit of tweaking, we had a pretty nice guitar. So we tried the initial one for a year, and then we started bringing out other models because there was a bit of demand there.
So you basically, in terms of bracing and all that stuff, that was all self-taught?
Yeah, I mean, I just learned as I did, and Greg Miner's a great resource for me with the building of these. But as far as the other guitars, again, I learned a lot from Pat Evans and Maton and the fellows that I work with in Indonesia where we build these now.
No, because, I mean, it seems like it's a whole other world in terms of bracing that soundboard. It's like,
well, my original partner was a luthier from C.F. Martin and Company. So he was my original partner, and what we did was he was building one-off customs, which were selling in the $7,000-$8,000 range, gorgeous instruments. And I said, can you give me the specs for these? And he decided to work with me. We got on well. And so he did, and we built a top, we built back and sides, we built entire guitars and parts of guitars, sent them to our manufacturer to see if they could reproduce them perfectly. They did. And they've been a tremendous partner for me all these years.
So he was building harp guitars as a custom
thing? No, he wasn't building harps, he was building regular guitars. But with the basis of those,
right?
I took my auditorium body that I was already selling and the parlor body that I was already selling, and we adapted it to a harp guitar. You know, the harp guitar has been around since the 1880s, and so there was plenty of history to look at. In fact, Greg Miner, as you probably know, has one of the most comprehensive museums probably in the world right now of harp guitars and interesting vintage instruments. So Greg was really the guy that put me on the map with regard to that.
Yeah, it's amazing. The sound of them are just killer, and they're consistent.
Yeah, this is a game changer, I think, for singer-songwriters once somebody discovers it. It's still unknown, but it's going to take one singer-songwriter with the right song to just put this thing on the map for the whole world, and everybody will want one, right?
So, yeah.
I certainly hope so, Don.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's, why not? I mean, you strum one bass note, hit one chord, it just sings forever. You can just put your hands up and start singing along, right?
No, it's just the drone strings are just, it just gives you that bass line that you need as a single artist.
For sure.
It's definitely, and then the kind of stuff that you're doing, too, is kind of pioneering the instrument, too. And people like Muriel Anderson and stuff, they're doing some really interesting things with it. And I think that, yeah, it's growing. I'm seeing more people playing it.
Yeah, this is a very good fit for Muriel. She stopped by and played for quite a while. And I was pleasantly surprised that she was very pleased with what we had done.
Now, do you just make steel string or do you make nylon string?
Because I know she plays nylon. Yeah, I'm considering nylons. I haven't had a lot of call for it yet, but I think it's there. And, you know, we're kind of playing around with the idea right now using nylon strings with ball ends on the guitar to see how that works. I haven't sourced out yet the nylons for the subs.
Right.
But, that's something yet to be done.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, what's cool about it, too, is like for a beginner, you can set up so you can say play simple bass notes. But the more advanced the player you are, of course, you can start doing these incredible voicings with it, right?
Yeah.
So moving right along, I'll play a little something and tell you about this next guy because it's a pretty interesting little story. I'm playing an arch top, but you're hearing percussion. This is kind of a first. So this man over here named Tad Brown is a fellow I met in Vancouver. And what's interesting about this story is that there was five of us hired to play the particular show. And a range of players, me being the non-jazz player. And Tad reached out to me and said, would you play my guitar for the show? And I said, well, just so you know, I'm probably the wrong guy to be playing your guitar. And he said, no, you're the right guy. And I went, no, I'm the wrong guy. Check out this guy. And he said, no, you're the right guy. And I explained what I do. And he said, that's the right guy. I want to make an arch top hybrid so that a fingerstyle, percussive-style player could play it. And so that's what he did. He made me a real beautiful guitar last year that I brought in. And I'll let Tad tell you a bit more about this particular beauty he's got here today.
And this is my newest model here. It's the 16-inch acoustic arch top. It has a red spruce top, sugar maple back and sides, Honduras rosewood appointments, and it has a dual pickup. It has a magnetic Armstrong single coil, so you can get your P90 D-Armin tones out of the neck pickup, and then also K&K Pure Mini soundboard transducers built into the top, so you can get a nice dual source going there.
Where are they located?
They're actually glued inside, one underneath the bridge, and then there's two around the F-holes, so it gives you that classic steel string K&K Pure Mini sound in an arch top.
You experimented with that too to try to find the right
spot.
Yeah,
the placement is very critical, definitely, for sure.
So you have this also this pickup that's on the pickguard, and is there a pickup in the bridge, like a piezo?
It's not a piezo, they're actually transducers.
Transducers?
Yeah, soundboard transducers, three of them.
The top is, what was the top? Was
The top is red spruce. It's what the pre-war Martins and Gibsons were made from. The best sounding spruce, in my opinion.
Now, let me ask you too. Well, first of all, before I get more into this, let me get a little more your background. How did you get into this?
Sure. I come from a background in repairs. So I did for 10 years or so, just nothing but setups, fretwork, repairs, handling, you know, just thousands of different instruments, which really sort of refined my eye for details and best practices. And I've been building for about 24 years, and so pretty much my exclusive focus these days is the acoustic archtop guitar.
Now, let me ask you, though, on putting those transducers in there, did you have to modify your bracing?
No. No. The guitar is built strictly foremost for its acoustic response. All the electronics are all secondary, so while you can plug it in and get an excellent tone, it's acoustically is where it's at first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to. Okay, so it's pretty.
It's parallel bracing, two parallel braces right underneath the bridge, basically. Like the original
L5. That guitar. Can you grab that for me?
Yep.
Since we're talking about it, I might want. There's another thing that you don't notice, but there's a little opening in here. So.
Yeah, sound port. Gives the player a little more volume directed towards you, so you can hear yourself while you're playing. Yeah, it looks nice.
It's so beautiful. I mean, the binding and stuff.
All wood bindings, no plastic.
This is a beautiful
sugar maple, yeah.
It's really, really nice. Now, tell me a little bit about this pickup system here. So you have there's a toggle switch. What is that?
Yeah, there is a coil tap there. That's the Armstrong P90 single coil. So it has a coil tap, 11K high and 7K low. So you can get your different D-Armin P90 tones, sort of like neck and bridge pickup, just with a mini toggle. And then mm-hmm. It's got a single volume there.
Okay, so this is just a straight bridge. There's nothing in here.
Right.
Okay, and then my headphones are falling off. This volume is just for this pickup?
Yes.
Volume is for that.
Yeah, and it just goes, the K&K goes straight out through the stereo jack.
Now I'm going to show you, okay, so this is a stereo jack.
Right.
So how is this wired? So what's coming out of the...
It's stereo, so you need a splitter cable, or I can do a dual mono if you prefer.
Right.
Which I did on Don's.
But, I mean, is this just one and then all the transducers are coming out of the other, or is it...
Right. So the tip is magnetic and the sleeve is
the transducer.
Yeah. So if you plug a mono cable in, you're just getting the magnetic stereo. You can get both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's showing the plug there.
She did TRS into two mono.
Right. So the... Now, let me ask you, when you play this live, when you use this live, do you send the transducer to another amp?
I always send it to, well, it depends. If I have a mixer, I'll take two channels of the mixer and EQ per channel. And this is why it's such a great combination, because if you just took the K&K and EQ'd it for percussion sounds, you're not going to get a good string sound. So
right.
That's why I tuned the magnet, get the magnetic setup for a good sound for a good playing, and then I'll use the K&K for a slight sizzle and then percussive stuff, right?
Yeah, so it's just it's a brilliant thing. I've never, he's the only guy I've ever seen that's played percussively on it, but it works really well. And it seems like this top is really live.
Very live.
Tapping it, you can hear it. Here, I'll put it.
And in saying that, I had to learn to modify technique a little bit because I'm such a heavy hitter.
Right.
So now it's just learning how to play a little bit lighter, a little bit softer.
But for that style, you don't need to strengthen the bracing. It seems to handle a lot of hitting. I mean, he's beating the guitar.
Yeah, that fine balance.
The blue one's still ticking like new. So it's
like I said,
just naturally because of the way the guitar sits,
right?
You start playing softer, right? Every guitar you play, you try to find what makes it magical, and you look for those spots, right? So.
And I have to, this neck is great. It's super thin and nice. It's very easy to play. So, the craftsmanship, again, this is another one that's really, they're excellently made.
Thanks
it's a beautiful
so much.
Guitar. Okay, I'm going to hand this back to you to put back there.
Thank
you. Now, let me ask you, all three of you, too. I want to ask a question. Because we were talking that things had changed a lot from last year. I know that last year especially there was a lot of problems getting woods and everybody was concerned about that. Has that loosened up or is it still a problem like getting rosewood? Is it still a problem to get some of the more exotic woods? Though a lot of the newer companies are using alternative woods. I noticed that yours is using something totally different. Is there a reason besides the tone, obviously? Is it more accessible?
Well, in our case, we were too small of a company to really load up when we knew that rosewood was going away. So we just looked for alternatives, and we were lucky and surprised by what we found. So we were doing blind testing, building guitars, and then blind testing with our artists and say, what do you think? We had the rosewood from the previous year, and then we had in the case of what we are using, silkwood, and we give them the silkwood, which nobody had ever heard of because it was kind of an odd choice, I suppose. And they just verified that it was a better tone wood. It had a more resonant bottom end, a deeper bottom end, very, very rich tone, and we're extremely happy with it. I have no intention of going back to rosewood, despite the fact that rosewood is really beautiful. I might in the future make a couple of custom pieces with it, but right now, for my mainline high-end guitar, the silkwood is it. If you hear the big silkwood on the larger harp guitar later on this evening, I think you'd be knocked out.
Now, acacia, what is that? What's the characteristic of that wood?
It's just a koa.
It's
a type of koa, yeah. There's acacia trees all over Southern California. They're all over Hawaii, Asia.
Oh, okay. So it has
more pretty common wood. It's just a type of koa.
Now, what is the silkwood is what you're using for the backs and sides of the...
I'm using it for the top as well.
Really?
Yeah.
So it has a response like a spruce?
It does. It's not like a spruce. It's like something else. But it's a big, big sound. I think Don might verify that for us.
How would you classify the...
He's playing it.
Is it a darker sound? Is it like a cedar? Or is it a livelier like a...
Well, the two units I have, I mean, for me as a player, acoustically, it's not a loud guitar. But for a guitar like that, for my purposes, when I plug in, I probably play a little bit louder than others. And so, as you know, when you turn up volume, logarithmically, the bass starts getting louder, right? So I'm not sure how it all works, but I know when I plug that thing and turn it up to a volume where I'm happy is, you get this beautiful, fat, rich sound. And I tell you, when you hit a low bass note, I tune mine down to an F, and I just sit there and I go, I'm king of the castle. Just have that feeling, right? You get a lot of confidence when you hear that rich
note. Okay.
But that's plugged in.
Yeah,
so.
It's a big sound. The smaller body one, like this part we played tonight, in the silkwood, is demonstrably fatter than that guitar that you heard earlier tonight here.
Okay. So if you were getting one of the smaller ones in silkwood, it would sound bigger just acoustically.
Yeah, and it's a hard wood. And it's a heavy wood. You'll pick them up, and you can literally feel the difference in the density and the weight of it.
Now, what woods are you using for the bridge? Is that?
That is tiger stripe ebony.
Okay, so it is ebony.
Yeah, tiger stripe ebony. Same thing for the fingerboard and all the surfaces of the main body.
Okay, so you still need to use that for the Silkwood doesn't work well. I'm just curious if you tried making a bridge or anything.
Well, I haven't done it because we've been standardized on the ebony for a long time. It's available to us. It's an in-demand timber. And at the prices that we charge, I think it's makes for to be a great value to use the ebony.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a cosmetic choice too on my part.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And does that have a metal truss rod in the guitar part?
Yeah, dual action.
Okay. Is there any other type of reinforcement on the drone strings? Or is there a problem with that bowing?
No, there's not. It's the bracing throughout history of these various manufacturers or builders, I should say, because it's a very boutique industry. There's all kinds of bracing, and so we looked at some of the early dyers and some of the stuff that would be public domain, you know, that we could use or we could modify for our own purposes.
Mm-hmm.
We designed something completely new, complete proprietary. And again, we did a blind test. Again, I had the old style bracing that was used in the dyers in one model, and then I had this new bracing that we invented, if you will. And Greg Miner in particular chose the newer one that we came up with. So
okay. But I mean, so there's not an issue of that warping the soundboard from
collapsing.
Yeah.
No. In fact, before that would happen, you would lose control of the plane that holds the headstock. But we triple laminated that, cross grained it, so there's no chance of that happening now. They're very mm-hmm. stable. They're very stable. However, we do tell the new buyers of the guitar that if you're going to play, say, some Andy McCarthy, Michael Hedges, Stephen Bennett, crazy alternate tuning, to contact us, and we'll recommend some strings for that. So we tell them to kind of keep within the range of a step or so,
up
or down.
Now, this wood that you're using here, either the Silkwood or the Acacia, how does it handle humidity and temperature? Like, Dawn plays all around the world, so that an issue? Is it stable?
Everything's rock solid. Top's not lifted anything, so I had previous...
I can tell you this. This guitar and the one I have outside, they've been at the show, the show demos. So we just came back from them. They've been on the floor. They've been sitting there all night, you know, in the cold of the convention center. And then they heated up as we're closing down. It was on a truck riding all the way back down to Temecula last night. Came back up here, and it was totally in tune when I got here.
That's something to be said. No, I know, like, on my electric guitars, some of my Gibsons that are mahogany, changes 10 degrees, and the whole guitar just goes out. You know, it's so soft of a wood, you know what I mean?
Getting back to the wood thing that you brought up earlier, last year was a bit of a challenge, I think, for a lot of builders. And they were jumping into the CITES laws and made it really, really restrictive, right? But I think there was a big meeting, I forget, was Ceylon or some what country they had it in, but upon the discussions, they found it was actually the furniture builders that were using up and pirating a lot of the woods and not the guitar makers. So I think they lifted the restriction probably in all the rosewoods except for Brazilians, so now you can travel more.
Yeah, I know Brazilian's pretty tough to get. But I don't know, you know, these alternative woods that I'm hearing, what you're using here... And I've heard the other harp guitar. I'm impressed. And Martin's using different woods. And some of the other companies, they're pretty innovative, and they sound great. You know, I mean, if you have it.
Mason's using an oven call, right? This is a really great sound. Lovely wood.
How you
come closer.
It depends on how you, you know, deal with the top. The thickness, how hard are the top. And this is about how creative sounds.
Right.
Yeah.
So do you use a lot of the oven coal?
Yeah. Oven coal. Even we use rosewood, hardwood for the top. Because some sounds, different sounds. It's, more dense sounds. Some people, they like that, you know.
Yeah.
Just.
So how about you? Any experience with the rosewoods at all that you feel about, or...?
I pretty much stick strictly with traditional wood since I can still get them, and I'm just a boutique maker basically. So Honduras rosewood, for example, would be my favorite rosewood, which is not CITES 1, it's CITES 2. So it's still available, and you can still get it in high quality, and it's okay to ship around. So until that runs out, maybe then I'll consider.
You're a big maple guy, right?
Yeah, and you know, maple is one of the most common trees in North America, so no shortage there.
Can you spell so Canadian maple too? You get some Canadian maple?
Yeah, yeah.
Can Western you spell Canada?
Western big leaf maple, little Chilliwackian maple, Eastern red maple, and sugar maple as well.
So the new spelling for Canada, C A A A D. No, just kidding.
Yeah. Well, have you played with other woods? Like, what would be besides the you're using the red spruce.
Yeah.
But have you tried other tops to see what?
Oh, works? Yeah. I've tried Sitka. I've done European, which is also pretty nice. But in my opinion, red spruce is the ultimate. It has the strong fundamental note of Sitka spruce, but it also has the rich overtones of European, except even better. It's no coincidence that the early Martins and Gibsons are so revered for their tone. It's not just the age. It's actually the wood that they're made of as well.
Yeah. I've got a question for all these guys, and it's something that's not talked about, and I'd like to hear their opinions and all this, is that how are they determining their fingerbore radius, and what are they using, and why? Is there a reason for it? So let's start with you, Tad.
The radius, I would stick with something comfortable, like about a 12-inch would be pretty good for me.
Yeah. And what's the reason for 12 versus 16? Is it, what's the big
16's
difference?
A little flatter, 12's a little more radiused, and I like stainless steel frets as well, so that they don't wear out. Coming from a repair background,
right,
you'll never need a refret.
So the idea for the curve, like on the strats and stuff, my guess is that because of the curvature, it allows you to bend up a little bit easier. You get that bit more space if the string's not so close.
Well, it could also fret out also, because if you've got a high radius, like a 7.5, they're
my strat's a 9-inch, nine, so okay. It curves. It's really comfortable, the cord. But you have to adjust the outer strings are higher up, so they don't fret out.
Yeah.
So that 12 is a nice, comfortable.
I think so.
For natural, because your hand naturally curves, especially those bar chords.
Yeah, a lot of fingerstyle guys use compound radius, but you have to order that at the time of, right? How about you, Rob?
Same thing, 12.
Yeah, 12. Eh?
Yeah, it's very comfortable, and it works on an acoustic guitar, and we don't want to be too flat. We don't want to be back to this thing where you're trying to turn acoustic guitars into Stratocasters.
Or classical guitar.
Get too much of a club, because we've experienced that with some other brands I've worked with. So the 12 is pretty much what we standardize on.
Yeah. Alex?
Yeah, based on my more than 20 years experience, I think now the arch fingerboard is has some general standard, but we need a to adjustment, smooth adjustment, how make it perfect for playing for the treble side and bass side. So this is something that's about for traditional, for the custom workshop. It is most of my experience.
There's a lot of variance, and most people just know the standard American, what a Martin's acoustic guitar is, a Martin, or the Gibson arch tops. And the same thing with electric, Gibson Electrics and Fender probably kind of defined scale and radius of it. But no, it's interesting. And the other thing that people don't talk about, and I'm going to ask you, all three of you, is the shape of the neck. Because I've seen people experiment just a little bit here and there, and it can radically change how you play, whether it fatigues your hand or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
How did you come about to what the shape of your neck is? Did you do a lot of experimentation? I want to go around to everybody real quick.
Yeah, definitely doing a lot of repair work and handling a lot of nice instruments. You definitely can pick out a nice neck shape, and the subtle differences really do make a big difference in feel. I like a round profile and no hips, so I'll blend the neck profile into the fingerboard so it's all nice and smooth, and it's got to be just the right thickness, just the right width, and the string spacing has also got to be very accurate, and obviously not too close to the edge or too crowded. So it's there's a very fine line.
Well, I was just lucky that I had a great builder with me, because I came out of another industry and I was learning as I was going. So I was really a neophyte about building guitars, and I'm a businessman really.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was building these. I had left Maton, and their necks were a little heavy, And I think a lot of that direction came from Tommy, probably, his preferences. And they're great guitars, of course, but I needed something different. And the things that, that we were starting to build had more of a flattened out C. And we got just got a great response from it, so I went with that. I went with what how the public was responding to that versus the guitars I've been selling to them previously. So that was really it, just a real pretty simple decision. And I haven't regretted it in 12 years. You know, the same basic shape is still working for us.
No, if it works, don't fix it.
Right, yeah, exactly. Of course.
Actually, it depends the artist that you know they're used to that their owner, you know, the demand. You know, many people in classic guitar play many classic guitar player player. They love the D shape. Some they love the C shape. For the steel strings, and some people they love the C shape, and some people they love the C shape with little V. So anyway, so we are sometimes it's very difficult in one guitars for the older people they satisfied make older people satisfied. So we make different models and for different people choose. But to make their demand, this is our manufacturing way we are doing now.
Yeah, well, I know the classical players. There's more of a squared off type of a D shape, and they like that. And that's like the old Ramirez was like that. It's hard to play that after you've been playing, like Don knows, when you play a lot of electrics or these guitars, which are a much faster neck to allow you to do all sorts of cool stuff. Playing those big guys can give you a cramp in your arm. Mm-hmm. So, but I noticed that playing your acoustic guitars, the Masons, they have those real slender necks. They have those really fast necks, and the action is set up so that it's low enough where you can move around, but it's high enough where you can really get tone out of it, and you can hit those fortes, and it doesn't, you know, fret out, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I can see with both of the companies, it's such a variety of tastes of type of necks. But I have to admit, all the guitars here, the necks are very comfortable, and you'll find that with these guitars. And they're easy to play, and they resonate really well. You get a lot of sustain on all of the guitars. So we're almost out of time. I told you we'd go by really fast. What I want to do real quick is go down the line and give everybody information online where they can get more information on your instruments. So, Alex, your website.
Website martinezguitars.com and masonguitars.com.
Masonguitars.com?
Masonguitars.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then go ahead.
We are at www.timberlineguitars.com.
Okay, you can get info there. And
talk. Yeah, and you can see Brown Guitars at brown.guitars.
I love that. Yes, .guitars, no com. It's great. So, and then Don, where is your website? Tell us yours.
www.donalder.com.
Okay. And I'm holding you up to for a new album. I want you.
Yeah, we got.
He's overdue. So
too many ideas. Not
everybody, comment and nudge him to do that. Anyway, he's going to take us out with something on this guitar, so you can hear how really beautiful it is. I want to thank all of you guys for coming on. It's really an honor to have you here, and I want you guys to come back and show us even more. So thank you so much, everybody. I'm going to let Don take us out. You have a great week. We'll see you next week. Thank you.